I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hurry on sundown, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Football Ramble Preview Show, sponsored by Bet365. My name is Marcus C. Speller, and that's Luke A. Moore.
All right.
That's Jim Campbell.
Hello.
And that's Pete D. Donaldson.
I don't have a middle name.
Got your middle name,
Edward.
Jim.
It's Edward.
Yeah, we've done this recently, Christopher.
Yeah, indeed, we have. Pete doesn't have a middle name, but he is wearing an Olympiakos shirt.
I am. I'm dressed like a commoner garden footballer today.
Is it because you want to be on the continent?
Yes, I want to curry favour with
Brassel.
Esoteric products.
With Brassel, yeah.
Isn't it because you were planning to go to the gym but forgot to bring your own lock?
Yeah. And I would usually go without lock, but I've got my laptop with me, so I'm not.
Don't advertise
that.
It.
I know. Cat's out of the bag now, isn't it?
If you want to get more involved in football, Peter, are you going to respond to Jeff Stelling's heartfelt plea to save Hartlepool United?
He's given 500 quid when I was drunk about a few months ago.
Did you?
Yeah.
God, that is a revelation. Did you hear that?
Yeah. What?
What else did you get that night?
Marcus, what
that's
I do know—the
strangest thing I spent money on.
It's not. What I do know is that the Pete Donaldson heart cannot take both Maplins and Hartlepool going under in the same week.
I know.
Tough week for Pete.
We're using the playout system from an iPad through a Maplins branded cable. I mean, so many emotions.
Pete, you can only save one. Who's it going to be?
Yeah, well, I've been
trading
on the fact that I have been and am a Hartlepool fan for such a long time. I thought I'd better put my hand in my bloody pocket. A long time ago now, didn't mention it, need to.
I thought you might have done, and I wanted to give you a bit of credit there. Mm. But yeah, sad scenes indeed for Hartlepool, actually. All joking
fingers
aside,
crossed they come out of it, yeah.
Yeah,
absolutely.
And Maplins.
Yeah.
Yeah, very much so.
And Toys R Us.
Oh, yeah.
Although they are sort of grammatically irresponsible, given their target demographics.
We haven't got time for that now, Jim. Yeah, can't get into that in depth.
But we do have time to talk about VAR.
Let's cheer people up with a bit of VAR today. What a shit show.
Oh, my goodness. Mm. Yeah, Spurs, they beat Rochdale, of course, 6-1 at Wembley.
But can I just open the conversation, Marcus, by saying, and this is a direct quote,
yep,
to correct clear errors and for missed serious incidents.
Yeah, so, given the snow, wasn't basically every incident missed, though?
Yeah. Yeah, is it too much to ask for them to look at the weather forecast and get a ball of a different colour?
Yeah, I was going to say, orange ball.
Yeah, surely Wembley has an orange ball.
Does it not work in snowy conditions? Is that why? Which, to be honest, in a situation where you're working with teams from the lower leagues, means that VAR will never work in lower league football. Because
of the conditions.
Because of the conditions, and they don't have underside heating a lot of the time, blah, blah, blah.
Is it colder?
Snowing in lower league football?
No, but it's frequently, the pitch is frequently a way more white colour than the Premier League ones.
What?
Yeah,
what?
We go.
I'm just, if you're a lower league team, you don't have undersoil heating,
you don't have the
lighting system, but and the snow lays a lot easier. You saw Stephen Taylor getting involved with a bit of shovel and spade action, getting rid of all of the snow.
Is this related to white dog poo or not?
I'm not really sure, to be honest.
The only way you could see and therefore enjoy Son's second goal midweek is because you could only see the ball because of the trail it left in the snow.
Yes, that was exciting.
Spurs themselves were basically invisible at that point.
Yeah,
very odd. Awesome. Sure.
So the FA, and yeah, I imagine we'll find a bit of time to talk about them in a bit more detail in a minute, but they've decided that it's okay for Spurs to wear a white kit and use a normal coloured ball when there is the most snow forecast in London for many a year, and that's fine. And you know what we're going to do into the bargain? We're going to make all the fans who've come out sit around and wait for ridiculous things to happen.
I mean,
absolutely silly.
Yeah, could they have not just said, actually, it's Spurs versus Rochdale. We probably won't need VAR tonight. And if we do, let's make sure we get it right. But the orange ball, like, it's such a simple bloody thing.
Yeah.
It's not, we're not
asking the ball is like a yellow colour, but nowhere near distinctive
enough.
That's
what I mean. They would probably argue, well, it's not white, so don't worry about it. Well, we will worry about it because we want our orange ball.
Yeah, so with Marcus, what did you think then about this implementation of VAR in that game?
Because I thought referee Paul Tierney had a tough evening.
Yeah.
He had a very tough evening. There was lots going on. But as the Independent put it, the fifth round of the FA Cup has never seen a match as farcical as this.
No.
at the home of football, Wembley.
I do understand that there are going to be teething issues.
Lots of them.
With this stuff. And we've talked about it on the continent with other European leagues, and James Horncastle put in a few different points about how the benefits that haven't potentially been seen or weren't predicted have ended up making it quite good. And I get all that. And if you want to hear about that, you can listen to it on the continent. I'm not going to repeat it here. But the problem I've got on it, the real worry about it for me, is something that Pochettino picked up on after the game, which is, if you are going to implement VAR in a, is there any reason I can't give this goal kind of way that they do in rugby, then you are fundamentally changing how people enjoy football.
Because
you are never going to be able to properly celebrate a goal of any description, because there could have been some sort of infringement in the build-up, which you may have missed.
30 seconds earlier.
Yeah, you may have missed. And a great example of that, clearly, is the Llorente tussle to disallow Lamela's goal, which no one can say is a clear and obvious error.
Yeah.
A lot of, if not all the, not all laws, but a lot of the laws are dressed up and used down to the referee's interpretation.
Absolutely.
So at the best, you are going to undermine the referee's dominance on the pitch. At worst, you are going to change fundamentally how people enjoy watching the game.
I have a solution to that.
Okay.
Which is that
orange ball.
You don't implement any VAR decision until the end of the game. So you might be 3-0 up.
Yeah.
Just got to play it out.
It literally will be 0-0. 0-0, lads. 0-0.
To be fair, that would be fantastic. Well, we ended up winning 2-1. I thought we lost 4-2. Yeah.
I mentioned earlier that we talk a bit more about the FA, and they're an easy hook to hang your football ills on.
They make themselves an easy target.
But there is no defence to not seek advice from other sports that use this technology already. I know the sports are going to be different. I know it's going to be implemented in a different way.
Not but even other sports, other football associations that already use it.
Yeah, but either of those things. It's completely baffling.
For me.
And it's in line with, to be perfectly frank, Jim, it's in line with the FA's arrogance. They need to start taking advice on how to implement it properly. You're not going to get, even this idea about showing the replays on screens, still not going to sort it.
For me, with VAR, if they are going to implement it, you have to implement it at the very, very specific incident that people are scrutinising. Because, like you say, if you look at a foul, that is that a penalty? Was that offside? And you go, oh, well, actually, but 5 seconds before, 10 seconds before, there was a all right, well, we'll give the... No. None of that. Did he foul him? Did he not? Was it offside? Was it not? They are the things that you have
to reduce it to.
It's only just, offside, really.
There just needs to be three referees, fully paid up referees, sat in a room with every camera angle possible, and it's a voting system. And if that decision isn't reached within 3 seconds of the incident, 5 seconds of the incident, the referee can just blow the whistle, stop the game, explain what the problem was, and go from there. Otherwise, it just ruins the game.
But Pete, that still doesn't solve the. I think that would be an improvement, definitely. But
I think that's the way it has to be.
But that doesn't solve the underlying issue, which is what Pochettino picked up on. His direct quote is, football is a game of emotions and we have to be careful not to kill it. If I can't shout when we score because we have to wait 2 minutes for a decision, will I buy a ticket?
Well, exactly. But the decision whether the goal stands or not would be solved by that particular situation.
It wouldn't be, because that split second when the goal is scored, you cannot celebrate in the same unbridled way you would before, because you're not sure at that point if it's a goal.
That will get smoothed over as the technology continues. You use it more. Fans will start to realise that that's the situation. But goals get pulled back for offside all the time.
Yeah, that's
goals get pulled back
for
kind of infringements in the penalty area. My problem is the reason why we're talking about VAR, and we're not talking about putting more referees in situations in the crowd or whatever. is because there's no referees lobbyist. It's the VAR, it's the technology who are coming to the FA and going, look, we've got this amazing thing. The technological lobbyists will be the ones who are making all the money out of this particular situation. And the FA are only too happy to spend their bloody surplus.
Okay, so, this goes all the way to City Hall?
Yeah, I think it does.
So hang on, we've heard the downsides of VAR. Many people critical, of course, and as Luke says, Pochettino said it could kill the emotion of the game. However, let's see somebody who's for VAR or quite enjoyed it. Keith Hill, everyone's dad and Rochdale manager. He said about the VAR incidents in the first half, I thought it was superb. I was totally immersed in that first half and it flew by. It was like speed football. I thought it was amazing. I really did.
Oh, wow.
did he then give someone a tenner?
I don't think there's anything to suggest like impropriety from the FAP on why they're implementing it.
I'm just saying that the power of technological companies who have this technology is more powerful than common sense in many ways.
I don't know if that's where this is coming from.
And
I don't think that's where it's come from. The area it comes down from like pressure from places like FIFA and UEFA and all the rest of it, and the endless march of progress and improving things because referees aren't getting enough things right. Now, we can all agree that refereeing could be better, I think. If we don't agree with this issue on the other areas, but we can agree that referees need to be better. And I am massively in support of helping referees. I just don't think this is the right angle to do it. I think something like a referee in each half or something like that would be a better implementation of improving decisions, or just more referees, just a more competitive way of selecting referees.
Mm. Well, you've had more attractive fifth officials, and that's not worked. When you say more referees, people think, oh, we've tried that. I think a referee in each half might be an idea, but then you're doubling the amount of referees you need. You then have.
But make it attractive as a profession. Attract proper athletes who have got the enough age and enough experience to be dominant and to be able to make decisions, but are also young enough to be athletically able to keep up with players these days. I mean, you mentioned the independent quote earlier. If we can't agree on all the rest of it, we can hopefully agree on this, because they also said ultimately this game was a sign that video technology has a long, long way to go before it can be reliably rolled out across the sport. I think that's got to be true.
Protect your referees. More money. Don't allow managers to even respond to a question by the national press about referees or decisions being made in the thing. Just treat refereeing and treat the actual decision, the rules of the game, as just things that sometimes get right and sometimes they get wrong. The press will just stop asking questions because they won't get any responses about it, you know what I mean? I know managers are human stuff. Just sort of say, you're not allowed to talk about a refereeing decision in your post-match. You're never allowed to do that. That's in your contract with the FA. And your club, and then all of these things will be all of the kind of like the talk about how bad referees have been this season in particular won't exist, and we'll just have to come down to the fact that referees are human.
That is noble, but will never happen.
But the FA can put a camera in every ground, but they can't sort out the way that the referees are treated by. It used to be that only captains are allowed to talk to the referees. That lasted for about a season.
Yeah. Anyway, Spurs, it was a good win for Spurs.
We've got to mention Llorente's hat-trick.
A hat-trick for Llorente.
12-minute hat-trick. I mean, you're right.
Didn't see that coming.
Perfect. No, well, another thing we didn't see coming on the night, of course. But lovely dinked goal to get him underway.
And Spurs are now 9-4 second favourites to lift the FA Cup this season. Ooh. So £10 with Bet365 will return £32.50 should they win it in May.
And we've got to mention Rochdale. They got an equalising goal.
They hit the post.
They had them going for a bit.
Yeah.
You know?
The noble effort.
Well done, a shame
for them that the conditions were so so difficult and Spurs were invisible and also, all these things. But, you know.
And still. Also, Jim, another. I know why you're saying that, but in addition to that, is that a shame that the conditions were so bad, because a lot of people who maybe would have bought a ticket probably stayed away. Mm. And so they might not have got the gate receipts they would have got otherwise, you know.
Absolutely. Right, gentlemen. Burnley and Everton, they kick off Saturday's action in the Premier League. Neither side are in good form and neither side score many goals.
Yeah.
It's going to be a good one, I think.
Yeah. Everton have won the fewest percentage of their Premier League points away this season, and Burnley have won the lowest percentage in home matches. Mm. So this screams goose eggs.
Nil.
Yeah. It's gone a bit under the radar how poor form Burnley are in, because everyone sort of decides, don't they, after about 3 or 4 months, that's the role that this particular team are going to play in the Premier League, and the role Burnley have been given or had bestowed upon them is they've done really well this season and they're brilliant and they're probably going to come seventh and that's it.
Right. Well, we're now today is the 1st of March. The last time Burnley won was the 12th of December.
That's unbelievable.
That's incredible. Which was a 1-0 home win against Stoke. Since then, they've played 11 league matches and scored just 6 goals. Now, we have to say that that includes draws with Manchester City and Manchester United, so it's not all bad, but...
But that's massively gone to the radar, hasn't it?
They're 10 points above the relegation zone. Now, you would have thought that they're not going to get relegated, because 10 points is a big points tally, let's be honest, and there's a lot of teams down there. Not everyone has to play each other still and so on. But it's such a shame that they couldn't continue their early season good form, really. And I understand inertia kicks in and so on and so forth, but it is a shame for Burnley. And you wonder with Sean Dyche, you know, he's obviously got the job there. He's
new contract.
But his job is not under threat or anything. But he's clearly taken that team as far as they can go, which is very admirable. Don't get me wrong. He's done a fantastic job. And the fact is, they probably will finish, well, quite possibly finish in the top half of the Premier League, which is fantastic for a club like Burnley. Don't get me wrong. But you just wonder if he continues to do that. A bit like Alan Kirbishley at Charlton now. I know that didn't
work. Pulis at Stoke.
Pulis at Stoke. You know, these kind of things obviously didn't work out too well for Charlton and Kirbishley himself. But you wonder if Dyche will be there for that much longer, because he's done all he can and it's been a great run. Or maybe he's particularly happy. He's a bit old school in that way and he thinks, I've got a job for life potentially. But I don't know.
A lot of it depends on the atmosphere around the club.
Yeah.
Because the Pulis at Stoke thing was, everyone just started to think that he'd taken them as far as he could, mm-hmm. and all the rest of it, and so he eventually moved on, because they got caught, as I've talked about before, in this sort of existential nightmare where they didn't really know what success looked like anymore. And I do understand the comparison, but Burnley finished 16th last season.
Sure.
They're going to improve on that in a big way. Mm. And
but you wonder if it's Dyche himself, though.
Of course, no, absolutely. But he's just signed a new contract, so we have to assume that he's happy to stay at the moment.
Sure.
But with Burnley, you as long as a fan base and a club have got an idea about, a clear idea about what success looks like for them, mm-hmm. they should be able to avoid all these sort of doubts and these problems.
No, that's a fair point.
And what they need to do, essentially, I mean, given that stat you popped out there, they need to win a game. They need to win a game badly.
Well, I was pleased they signed Aaron Lennon on loan, was it? I can't remember now. Because a bit more of an attacking player, potentially a little bit more sort of pace and flair. And I think we'd love to see Burnley score a few more goals, but then I suppose they've got their system, they've got their style of play, and yes, they've been very poor in terms of wins for the last sort of couple of months. However, they are 10 points above the relegation zone. And there's a lot of other clubs in the league who would love to be 10 points above the relegation zone right now.
I think Lennon's gone there permanently, I think.
Oh,
I think he's eligible to play.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But, I mean, it's a great opportunity for them, because, I mean, you've put in the running order a question, is Sam Allardyce doing a good job? No.
Yeah.
He's an absolute
choice. Well, I was going to caveat that question by saying there is a right or wrong answer with that.
Yeah, well, I think the strange thing about this situation is that if you look at the performance at Watford, they were really happy with a point there, or Allardyce was certainly happy to set up for a point away at Watford, who were struggling. And absolutely, with the players they've got in that squad, and just the size of the club in general, they've got to be aiming for more than that. Well, Jim, it must be so frustrating.
What we're talking about here, aren't we, is almost like a systematic reduction of expectations by Allardyce for Everton.
Yeah. It's also a little bit of a contempt for any sort of expectations they might have.
Yeah.
Given the amount of money they spent in the summer. Because he's decided that even though they spent a lot of money, that because it didn't work out with Koeman, that he's on this like this mad life-saving mission
For
the rest of the season.
Fight.
Even though when he took over, there was still about 20 games left.
It reminds me, if I'm going to use another comparison, of a little bit when Redknapp was at Spurs. Now, obviously, Redknapp had much more success than Allardyce is having at Everton, although he's been there far less for far less time. But when Redknapp would say, oh, well, they've never had it so good down here. And all that kind of stuff. And basically say, well, you know, I'm outstripping all the expectations here. I'm outperforming and so on. And the fans were thinking, well, no, we've got a good side. And actually, yeah, fair enough. You've taken us to knockout stages of Champions League and well done. But we can kick on here. And Redknapp was a bit like, well, hang on. Because he perhaps knew that he'd reached his level there.
Well, that type of manager is expert at reducing expectations.
Completely. Now, don't get me wrong. I don't want to poo-poo his achievements because, you know, he there was some great results under Redknapp at Spurs. Let's not be too harsh on him. But with Allardyce at the moment, you know, I mean, speaking of Burnley being 10 points, Everton are 7 points above the relegation zone. Now, I don't think for a second Everton are going to get relegated. But it's not that great. Koeman obviously didn't work out there. But the owner, hiring Allardyce when they were going for Marco Silva, very different change of tack.
Mad.
And I think to myself, well, okay, you didn't get Silva. Might you have just stuck with Unsworth and then seen what happened with Silva? But getting Allardyce in, I suppose it was a kind of, we've got, we might get relegated.
I think Unsworth may have got them relegated, though, the way things were going. And I think it probably was like, okay, we can't get plan A. Let's hastily make up a plan B. Allardyce is available. Let's get him. But I mean, even then, like Cenk Tosun, there's talk of him going straight back to Turkey. That hasn't worked out. And it's
I'm not sure those reports were true.
Whether the reports are true or not, the sentiment behind it being that it's not working for him here is certainly.
What did Allardyce saying about Davy Klaassen was interesting. Did you see his comments about Klaassen? This is a guy who, wasn't he not captain of that Ajax side the other year? And Allardyce is basically saying, well, he's not really good enough at the moment or something like that. Wow. And the fans are saying, well, OK, he clearly hasn't performed brilliantly, but he hasn't started a game, I don't think, since last September.
Yeah.
And you think to yourself, well, if they need a little bit of something, might it be an idea to give him a run out? I don't know.
Certainly not to just bury his confidence.
Yeah.
It's almost as if Allardyce himself thinks the idea of success is poncy. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I know what you mean.
Oh, he does. Everton are 2-1 with Bet365 to beat Burnley on Saturday, so £10 returns £30. Should those toffees chew up the clarets?
And now it's time for emails with that man, PTD.
It's time for emails.
Alistair Call. Hello, Alistair Call. Straight in. You might remember me from missing 4 goals at the Swindon Town game. Self-promotion over. Back in the late 90s, my parents were getting married and in attendance was Stuart Pearce, who was my dad's brother-in-law at the time and coming to the end of his career.
Football royalty in the family.
I know, right? After he got to the church, he was told what pew he was going to be sitting on with my mum's brother. Never one to miss an opportunity for the joke. Bravely said, on the bench again, Stuart. You must be getting used to that by now. And he was met with a psycho glare, enough for him to avoid going anywhere near Stuart Pearce.
How many England caps have you got? Yeah.
They have to avoid him for the rest of the wedding. I love the idea of that.
Yeah.
Footballers at weddings. If you've been at a wedding and seen a footballer,
I have. Andy Townsend.
Oh, really?
Really?
Yeah.
Was he in his tactics church truck?
He didn't hang around, sadly, because he saw me, probably.
I went to a wedding once and James Richardson was there.
Oh, there we go.
Not a footballer.
Two footballing minds meeting. Yeah.
We couldn't meet because there would be a vortex created.
I was at a wedding with Colin Kazim Richards' parents.
There we go.
Nice. It was lovely.
It's a good one.
I went to a wedding with Thierry Henry's fancy lass.
Thierry Henry's fancy lass. What is that even?
You might have to clarify that.
I don't think he needs to clarify that.
I don't think he should clarify that.
And if everyone's been to a wedding where there's a complete knobhead there and you have to spend the rest of the day avoiding them, because weddings are quite this funny thing where you all get put in the same place.
Yeah, Pete was invited to mine.
And if you've not had that experience, you are that knobhead.
Yeah. Marcus put me and Jim on the table with some of his oldest friends, which was foolish. So very foolish. We drained them of all their stories. Yeah. And now we have cachet.
You put Pete on a table on his own.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
That's it. Well, put me on the kids' table.
Actually, they were actors. So <jokes on that. laughs>
Very good. Any more emails, Peter?
Liam, in response to your question about members of bands who listen to the podcast, I felt I should pipe up. I was a member of Hey Chalet.
they were
on Six Music Radio one little bit.
How do you spell it?
Hey Chalet. Like Charlotte Amiobi, but with a Y on the end. Hey, Shirley.
Charlotte Amiobi.
So there we go. That's as far as it's gotten. But, I mean, I think we can do a little bit better than that.
I'm terribly sorry. I've never heard of them.
short@thefootballramble.com. We had a lot of emails about Brass Monkey as well. We were talking about Brass Monkeys. Apparently, it used to be a triangle, like a snooker triangle made of brass that was fixed to the decks of the boats, then filled with cannonballs in a pyramid to stop them rolling around the decks to cause injury and mayhem. When it was cold, the brass monkey would contract and the cannonballs would go all over the deck. So it was cold enough to freeze the balls of a brass monkey. That was the full phrase.
Guilty, get a new brass monkey.
Yeah, so loads of people got in touch with that one. So thank you so
good
much
to know.
For that one. Can I squeeze one in very, very quickly? Dan, he was basically on his way to the US, blah, blah, blah. Little nugget from his flight, almost literally, to eat away some of the 8 hours. It's a bit rude. I put on Monday's episode of the Football Ramble while I was on a flight, and at the very moment Pete admitted his penchant for shoeless interviewing, I was eating my delicious British Airways meal when the strangest thing happened. The man to my left stopped midway through his chicken, put down his fork, unwrapped the knob of butter and ate the entire knob on its own. What?
I'm not here for that.
That's so strange, isn't it?
Yeah.
So I'm thinking that maybe we had something to do with it.
Awful behaviour. Do you know, once on a plane I was sat next to a chap who was so large that in no position could I not be in physical contact with him.
Right.
And it was a flight over the Atlantic, so it was quite a long one. And so I am not ashamed to say that I made up a story that my seat didn't recline, and so could I please move to a new one? And the air stewardess said, yes, I could.
Lovely old job.
She didn't check. Smart. If she checked, I was absolutely fucked.
Yeah. Oh, I'll use the button. Sorry.
Marvelous. There we go.
Nice one, everybody. Appreciate your emails.
Shortthefootballramble.com if you want to get in touch.
Definitely. We're going to talk about Chelsea after this.
All right, mate. Hurry up.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
The only thing that they have got is the big boy up front, Sig Thorsson.
Oh, my word.
Welcome back, everybody, to the Football Ramble Preview Show. Chelsea are off to Manchester again, eh? This time against the Carabao Cup champs.
I fear for Chelsea.
I do, actually.
For the first time in a while, I know they've not been in great form, and I know they're not by any means like a perfect side or whatever, but there's something about Chelsea under Conte at the moment that they feel like a team on the edge.
Yeah,
and it feels to me that Willian aside, God bless him.
Oh, I love that man.
Yeah, Willian aside, if it goes wrong for Chelsea at a club like Man City away, it could go really badly wrong.
Yeah, there is a sense of sort of chaos and disarray with Chelsea's Conte, certainly this season. And City are set up to perfectly exploit that because they're so cold and ruthless in just sticking to their plan that Chelsea could unravel here.
I think this is going to be a belter.
Yeah,
I think this could be like a 3-2 or something like that.
What about that?
Five goals, you say?
No, I really do.
I thought Thibaut Courtois was interesting with his very frank comments on a Belgian radio station this week when talking about Antonio Conte's decision to sub off Eden Hazard at Old Trafford.
Or sod him off.
Yeah, well, indeed, Jim. He said, "I have no explanation for the substitution of Hazard. I did not expect it, but it's the manager's choice. He'll explain it. I can't look into his head." And it's quite strange for a footballer to be that frank, really. I mean, he was complaining that Hazard being taken off on, I think, 73 minutes is madness, considering, were they 2-1 down at the time? Or it was certainly poised. It was either 1-1 or 2-1.
I think it was 1-1. I think it was just after it, didn't it?
Yeah. Yeah, but it's still...
But one of your best players and biggest threats.
It seems like you're sort of accepting a point there, but yeah, wait a bit longer.
But Chelsea have lost three of their last four.
They had a shellacking against Bournemouth, too.
Despite not winning either of these games, they have put in better performances against Barcelona and Man United, Jim, so they're not dreadful at the moment.
No, but then City is another team of that sort of level, isn't it? So it's not like it gets any easier for them. It's not like they can sort of build up confidence with a big win against the team you'd expect them to be. And City aren't, you know, despite how far ahead they are, we've seen they're not just rolling over and coasting, are they?
They got beaten heavily by Watford, didn't they? Not Brighton.
I think it's both.
You said Bournemouth. You said Brighton and Watford. Who is it? Peter, who do you reckon?
It was Bournemouth and Watford. I thought you said Brighton for some reason. It was Bournemouth. Then they lost to Watford, didn't they? That's right.
Well, Chelsea now down in fifth.
They're 19 points off the top. I know Man City have been way ahead, but Chelsea are the current champions, lest we forget.
Well, I mean, if they lose against Manchester City and results, you know, go against them, I mean, Spurs and Liverpool have got winnable games. No disrespect to Huddersfield and Newcastle, of course. There'll be 5 points off fourth, and as the way Spurs and Liverpool are playing, and Manchester United, despite not scoring too many goals, are very much holding on to that second place at the moment.
Despite not scoring too many goals, very much still had David De Gea in goal.
Exactly.
They'll probably be fine.
Well, they've got Dave the Save in there.
And Dave the Save.
Man United and Liverpool are on the exact same goal difference, which tells you so much about Liverpool's defence, certainly at the early part
of the
season.
Yeah, that's a lovely stat, that. But I fear for Chelsea, Peter.
Yeah,
do you fear for a side that are the champions?
Well, especially,
do you not care?
It's not as bad as the Mourinho drop off with Chelsea, so it's fine.
What about the fact that Fernandinho, I think, is going to miss it, isn't he?
He is.
So that's a big factor, I think.
Yeah, could Pep Guardiola throw Chelsea a bone and play Yaya Toure in?
Well, I don't know. Is that throwing them a bone? Because we saw last season, you give him like three or four games a season, he's a revelation.
He's a magnificent player. I love Yaya Toure is fantastic. Because right enough you say, because he put him, I think it was away to Palace.
That's
last
right.
season where he stuck him. Was it this season? I can't remember. It was certainly recently, and they threw him in and thought, go on then, have a run out. And they won 2-1 and he got both goals. You know? So it wouldn't be out of the ordinary.
Is company going to be melting the ice, though, with his anger and power and excitement.
He also, I mean, Yaya Touré will always be a Premier League legend for that season he had when they won the league, where he scored, these were 20 league goals.
I think him and Frank Lampard hold the record.
He was absolutely fantastic.
20 goals and plus for a midfielder.
But Man City are 4-7 to beat Chelsea on Sunday, so £10 with Bet365 returns £15.71. Should they win?
Yeah, it's going to be a
great game. It's going to be a great game. It's definitely one to look forward to. And I don't like it when that type of game is put on a Saturday lunchtime, because that always tends to be a bit drab. I don't know what it is about Saturday lunchtime games, but that's on the Sunday, isn't it? So
it is on the Sunday. It's the 4 o'clock. That's a super Sunday.
Exactly. So number 4 o'clock on the Sunday is perfect for that game.
Perfect. Yeah. Absolutely. But they've got that right. Well done, the TV schedules. Or the Premier League, whoever the hell it is. But I think my point earlier about Barcelona and Manchester United, I think that Chelsea, for a game like that, might well get up for it. So I think it might be closer than what people think. Will it be a close one at Anfield this weekend? Liverpool host Newcastle.
I think it could be another 4-3, but that Liverpool will get all of those goals.
Are we ever going to not talk about that 4-3?
No, why should we?
Which one?
It was a long time ago,
Pete,
wasn't it?
Pete, Liverpool have lost one game in the league since the 22nd of October. Mm.
Let's face it, they're not going to lose that match, but I think our defence is a little bit more miserly when it comes compared to something like West Ham.
Luke said ahead of the Liverpool-West Ham game last week, I smell an absolute fire sale.
Yeah, I don't know why I said fire sale. I probably meant a shellacking or something like that.
No, I enjoyed it, and I knew exactly what you meant.
They beat him 4-1 in the end, so I was right.
I suggested a word of caution. I was wrong. Yeah. I'm going to remove that word this week.
Yeah, so they're almost certainly going to get beaten then.
Do you want to put your word of caution on Newcastle, maybe? Or?
Yeah, quite possibly. Yeah. I think they're going to have a torrid time against that front line.
Pete, give us a little insight into the mind of a Newcastle fan. What percentage chance do you think Newcastle have of winning this game at Anfield?
Do you want the normal Newcastle fan, or do you want me?
Let's have both. A contrast. You,
Normal fan first, then you.
Yeah.
99% Liverpool win.
That's a normal fan.
99% Liverpool win for me as well. You got to meet somewhere.
So you basically think that Newcastle have a 1% chance of winning this game?
It's at Anfield.
Yeah.
They're unbeaten at Anfield.
They're unbeaten at Anfield.
Yeah.
I can't see that. But then
every no brings you closer to a yes.
They could close it out. Remember when they played Man City early in the season and they stunk up the place and everyone had a right old whinge about it?
Yeah,
they might not get that goal. Though, that said, oh, God, Mo Salah's good, isn't he?
If they do get one, they'll get 20.
Pete, every match that Benitez has played against Liverpool in the Premier League, so this obviously includes his time at Chelsea, right, they've been draws.
Oh, well, there you go. There you go.
Well, I think Rafa the Gaffer might know how to out tactic.
Special thing, him going back there, isn't it?
Well, yeah, exactly. He'll have a lovely time.
Rafa the Gaffer. Dave the Save. Yeah. What is this, right? It's like, you're sort of like, I mean, Guy Ritchie feel.
These aren't names I came up with, but they're names I'm endorsing.
But you are perpetuating.
Yes.
Yeah.
But listen, Pete, this is one that'll warm your cockles. With Bet365, Dwight Gale is currently 12-1 to score the first goal in this one. So £10 returns £130, including stake. Should that Newcastle man open proceedings in style?
Yeah.
The problem with Newcastle is, like, in my heart, that we've had a lot of absolute poundings, like 5-1s, 6-1s and stuff. And we've always scored first. It's always been like Jermaine Jenas or something. It's like, oh, in my heart, if you score early, I was like, terrible idea.
Pounding
terrible idea.
Indeed.
You're not going to the game then, PT?
No. What else do you want from me? No. I'm working.
That's a shame. I quite enjoyed Sadio Mane saying recently that all the team love playing for Jurgen Klopp, and that's very much coming across. And again, as you said earlier, Jim, about that stat, and as everybody knows, sort out that defence and you've got one of the best sides in Europe, you could argue.
Yeah, but they have been better lately. I mean, is that the influence of Van Dijk?
Yeah, well, I was going to say they have signed Van Dijk, of course.
Well, he's starting to come into a bit of form, isn't he? Because he was flattened to deceive at his previous club and he'd been injured for a little while. So I think now we can settle in and start marshalling his defence a bit more.
Well, you certainly hope so. But Mane spoke about the team spirit that they have. Again, it shows on the pitch. When you have what Liverpool have with great attacking players, all of them, I mean, they've got goals everywhere in that team. Mm. What a great spirit they have and so on. I mean, really, obviously this season Manchester City are running away with the league, and who knows, it'll be very tough to dethrone them next season as well. But what Liverpool have, they really have something, and it would be wonderful for them if they could at least win a trophy and go very even deeper in the Champions League. But I liked what Sadio Mane said. He said, we are lucky boys. But yeah. Enjoying it. And he said, we know that on our day we can beat any team in the world.
And I completely agree with that. Yeah. And I've said, I think there's a good chance they'll go far in the Champions League on that basis. But Liverpool, I mean, they have this reputation for conceding, you know, large amounts of goals and all the rest of it. But I mean, more recently in the league, they only really concede goals against good teams.
Yeah.
I mean, they drew 2-0 with Spurs, of course. They drew 3-0 with Arsenal, didn't they, before Christmas? And that 4-3 against Man City.
Yeah.
And some of their other results, I mean, they beat Porto 5-0, Southampton 2-0, 4-1 against West Ham.
Lost 3-2 to West Brom in the Cup.
I said in the league.
So you did.
Yeah.
In the league.
And the Champions.
Well, they lost 1-0 to Swansea, of course.
Yeah.
In the league. Yeah, yeah. But I think generally, I mean, Liverpool, they're very, very, they feel to me that they're very close to being a Premier League winning team again.
That's what I mean, yeah.
And I think if Man City were having an ordinary season, there's a chance that it would be a three-way race between Liverpool, Spurs and City, I think.
Well, what's interesting is we can see it this season with Chelsea, and you could see it last season with Leicester, which is obviously a bit of an anomaly, and then the season before that with Chelsea again, is that defending the Premier League is it seems to be getting harder than ever. Mm. We've not seen a really decent defence of it in quite a while.
Do you think Man City will next season?
Well, I think they're obviously in a very, very good position too, because Guardiola demands so much of his teams, and you see that he generally sort of keeps that focus being very high, but that then again we've not seen how that translates to the Premier League. So I think Liverpool are really well placed to have a better push than they've had in a long time next year as well.
Jim, do you think Man City will be better next season than they are this season?
It's hard to predict. Yeah, it is really hard to predict. I would say, I mean, given the heights they've hit, I think it's going to be difficult for them to be significantly better.
It'd be interesting to see who they sign.
Actually, that said, I don't think they'll run away with the league again.
The reason I'm asking the question is because if you look, I haven't got the stats in front of me, but as far as I remember it, Guardiola's done a really good job of lowering the average age of the team as well. So these players that he's brought in and improved and all the rest of it, it's scary to think that a lot of them are actually improving players.
And where do they strengthen in the summer? You know, that kind of thing. The only thing is if Sergio Aguero, there's been question marks about his future, that could be a load of nonsense. But if he did get, you know, there was a big bid.
You can see him going and get Lewandowski, can't you? You can see
This is the point, isn't it?
Yeah.
But Aguero is one of the greatest strikers in modern top flight English football history, you know. So whoever they
hard to replace. Yeah,
exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
Also, a good thing as well is, you know, Liverpool don't seem to be missing Philippe Coutinho much at all. And also, they've got Naby Keita to come in already. Yeah. So, you know, as we've said before, they're sort of ahead of themselves in terms of planning for next season too.
True enough, Jim. True enough. Just very quickly, before we talk about our best bet, if reports are correct, then Pards has one last chance with this away fixture to Watford.
I mean, what is the point of that? why I don't understand why they would do that at this stage of the season with Pardew, because if they only just realised that, like, what's his record? It's unbelievably bad.
7 wins from his last 52 Premier League games, which obviously includes his part of his spell at Crystal Palace. But 7 wins from 52
It's a Pardew'd.
It's a bit like a fight to the death, isn't it? You know what I mean? We'll give you one last chance to save yourself, but it's going to be really public and potentially humiliating.
And they say British managers don't get a chance.
say they do get beaten by Watford at the weekend, right? They then have, I think, 9 games left.
Exactly.
Yeah. So essentially a maximum of 27 points. But they're going to put themselves in a position, and I know they can't turn the clock back now, they'll put themselves in a position now where, realistically, I mean, there's almost no chance of survival, because even if they win 6-7 games, it's not enough. It's not going to be enough. Well, it probably will be enough to win. But it's almost impossible to see them win 6 or 7 games.
Well, I hope they take a leaf out of Steve Parish, Palace chairman's book, because he's said that he's preparing for life in the Championship. Now, that doesn't mean to say he definitely thinks they're going down, but you're putting in the groundwork just in case they do, so you don't have a complete fallout and it all the bottom comes off it. You know,
I wonder how that affects squad harmony, though. It's a weird one, that.
Yeah, to go public with that comment, I suppose, is an interesting one.
And those 9 games they'll have left, 3 of them are Liverpool at home, Spurs at home, and United away.
Mm.
So you never know in the Premier League. Well, I know West Brom have miraculously escaped before, thanks to their pals down the South Coast. But six games, really, 6 winnable games brings you, if you win all of them, brings you up to 18 points, and that puts them on 38 points.
Also, as well,
be enough anyway.
When you look at how they've played, the term winnable is very fluid.
Indeed.
Let's say, do you know what I mean? You don't really back them in any fixture, the form they've been in.
And the key thing about the Man United, Liverpool and Spurs games is it's very, very likely all those teams will have a lot to go for.
Yeah.
And will still be really motivated to do something.
Well, we shall find out next week we'll find out on the weekend, of course, and talk about it next week, I'm sure, if Pardew's still in the job. But until then, what is our best bet with Bet365, Old Sport?
Yes, we got a good one this week. Do you guys remember a man we hardly knew? And we wish him all the best for the future. Tom Rodden.
Oh yeah, from last week.
Yeah,
Rodden choice for Bet365.
Very much proved to be a Rodden choice. Well, listen to this. This is from Mark. Dear Ramblers, I am Tom Rodden's dad.
Oh,
okay. And wish to formally apologise for the way he let us all down last week. As a diehard Liverpool fan, he should have known better than to back Everton to score. By way of compensation, I offer my recommendation for this week's Bet of the Week, which is Burnley to beat Everton and both teams not to score. Go on, Jim.
Sorry, I'm just going to... This is my favourite one ever.
Okay, good.
Yeah.
Well, I believe this is available at 13-5 with Bet365, which would raise a respectable £180, including your stake.
So what's the bet, sorry? Burnley?
It's Burnley to beat Everton with both teams not to score. So essentially Burnley to win to nil. Okay. Everton to not score in the game.
We've heard from the Rodden berry.
Yeah.
Now the Rodden tree is getting involved.
Yes. Apparently the berry never falls far from the tree.
That's right.
We'll find out. He said, I shall be at Anfield this week cheering on the mighty Reds with George Rodden, Tom's brother. Tom is grounded to give him time to reflect on the error of his ways.
I hope one of them is called Rodney.
Yes. Rodney Rodden. Rod Rodden.
That's all I want.
That's from Mark Rodden, and that is indeed 13-5. So Tom's dad is correct to say that £50 on that returns £180, including stakes, should it come to pass. And we hope it does, of course.
Yeah.
Not because we have any beef with Everton, but because all proceeds go to Prostate Cancer UK. You must be over the age of 18 to gamble, and do gamble responsibly. And for more information, go to begambleaware.org. So, to sum up, our best bet, Bet365 this week, is Burnley to beat Everton with both teams not to score.
Yeah.
You're looking for a 1-0, you're looking for a 2-0, you're looking for a 3-0. Do you get it?
Don't be put off by the wording of that bet. No. Because you have explained it to the likes of me.
Play it cool, Rodders.
There we go. The hot rods are in town.
Would you love to see his dad pile more misery on him?
Absolutely.
Oh, absolutely. You'd never live that down.
More misery for was it Tom Rodden, is more money for charity.
Yeah.
Exactly. So, Tom, are you going to accept that? Are you going to? So there we are. You see, right, Luke. Should we look ahead to the weekend?
Let's look ahead to the weekend as well, very quickly, because I know we're a bit short of time. Matt Page says, "I'm looking forward to Sven being in the crowd for the West Brom game at Watford, like the spectre at the feast." Can you imagine it?
Oh, I tell you something. I that didn't even cross my mind, but yes, that job will be available reasonably soon, I would have thought. Who better?
Do you think, can you honestly see Sven doing another management job?
I mean, I can.
I know, but do you think he will?
I can picture it.
Do you think he will?
No, I don't think so. I think he's done, if I'm honest with you.
Because you had a lot of hope for the Australia job, didn't you?
Yeah, the Aussie one was, that's perfect for him. Turn up a couple of months before the World Cup, swan in, get yourself 3 games under your belt at the World Cup. Off you go. Ciao very much.
Paycheck.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, well. There you go, Matt. Matt Page, he's ambitious and optimistic about it, but we'll see. Greg Sleet says, Greg Sleet, great name for this time of year.
Yeah, back again.
Greg Sleet, not to be confused with Greg Snow, who's far drier in his sense of humour. Greg Sleet says, I'm looking forward to finding out the fate of Pardew. I think we all are.
Yeah.
Hayden Norton, just in capitals. I love this one. Just in capitals. Orange ball, please.
I agree with that, man.
And Steve Davis says, it's going to be cold. It's going to be really cold. Well, I agree.
That does sound like the Steve Davis.
Yeah, you're not looking forward to it being really cold, presumably.
Well, you forget that, like, whenever you go and watch football, it's always a little bit colder than you expect. You just stood around.
Yes, because you're not
always
moving.
Always double up on the clothes.
But what I will say is, Pete, that that's absolutely correct. And when I went to Fratton Park most recently, that was absolutely the case. Mm. But when you go to these new stadiums,
these new stadiums
with their foreign beams.
I'll tell you something now, Jim. I was at Wembley for the Spurs-Man United game, and I was genuinely hot.
Really?
It's because there's so many people there, and it's so well done.
See, when I went
wind whipping in. It's like a bowl, right? Okay.
When I went to see Spurs v Brighton, which was not as cold as it is now, but it was an evening game, and probably around November time, I was cold. Hmm. So maybe you were with some warm-blooded
Did
people.
Did you double up on clothes, as Pete suggested?
And I maybe that's
perhaps
right.
Overlooked.
Did you wear loads of thermal
Did you wear
gear?
Two pairs of trousers? Yeah.
Is it just me, or is if you go out wearing long johns, you feel like a bit of a pervert?
No,
you know what I mean?
I never really
it's like when you go and play football in those kind of really thin,
like
kind
tights
of like tight
shorts
sort of thing.
Over
yeah,
the top.
You don't, I don't feel right.
No. I don't ever do it personally.
I don't feel right.
Speaking of cold, I did a shoot last week down on this week. Sorry, last down on Southampton docks.
Wow!
Right, and I looked at my phone when I was doing it.
Hate messages,
and it was -4 without the wind chill on the docks. It was the coldest I've ever been. I could hardly deliver the lines because I couldn't feel my face.
Stop did having a go at Southampton.
I can't feel my face I'm with you.
Did the warmth of the people not make up for it?
No. I was behind the Limmy lines and they knew it. Anyway, that's it from looking ahead for the weekend.
There we go.
Can you rectify that melody you just did because it was a bit off?
I can't feel my face when I'm with you.
No. I can't feel my face when I'm with you.
Well, he's doing the hands.
Yeah.
Yeah. But Will I Am over it?
But Will I Am.
Oh, yeah, I get confused. Will I Am.
Will I Am.
Will I Am will be, he'll be in Manchester.
I don't know it. I don't think I know it well enough. Yeah.
Right. Thank you very much for listening to the preview show sponsored by Bet365, everybody. We are off to make a snowman, I presume. Say goodbye, Luke.
Yeah, we'll put a little carrot on his nose.
Say goodbye, Jimmy.
Laters.
Say goodbye, Petey.
I'll put a carrot elsewhere.
And goodbye from me.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.